Welcome to Through the Mist with me, your host, Eric. This is a Void and Verse 3 podcast where we look at the lore, try to understand how it all works. In this episode, we'll be looking at the Hall of Loom. Hey up, me chucks, what's happening then, me laddie? Oi, yeah! Hi, hello, welcome back, you wonderful Mr. Busters, you beautiful people. Not just, and these are not just the people I've said hello to before. Hello to any new people joining us on this adventure, because new people are awesome. Hello, are new people. Hello, new people. And if you are a new person, remember, you can get more involved by following the Instagrams at @through_mist. Or if you don't have Instagram, you can always, like, if you want to get more involved, just email through.t.mist@gmail.com. Anything, all of the above. Apparently that, recently, according to Matt Pat, I watched the Matt Pat Anthony Padilla interview, you know, as you do. Apparently that might have been too many calls to action though. Like, you should only do one call to action at a time. And maybe, I shouldn't do them in the normal place. Because everyone just ignores it when I say it at the end, because it's just what people say at the end. So, but please, seriously, like, if you could, that'd be wonderful. I would be happy for either. So just do one or the other. Don't have to do both. I know for like my online present prowess, I mean, Instagram's better. But like psychologically, I think I would prefer an email, because you'll be the first email I've ever had, which would be very exciting. Yeah. So anyway, welcome back. Been a while. Long time no talkies. I like how I do this as if you're listening to this in time, but there's some people, like the new people that are joining us for this wonderful adventure today, that just like have binged it all and like have heard me talk as if it's the present, but it's not anymore. It's the past. And it's just, that's weird, isn't it? Like, I talk to you as if you're listening, but I think it's better. Anyway, long time no talkies. So, talkies. It's been a while since we were last here. Last time we were here, we had guests on. No guests on this time, just the Owen. Just moi. And we also talked about last time seahorses. Yeah, so like I said, I'm gonna like try and remember, have you guys remember what we talked about, because it was a while ago. It was a couple months ago since I last released this episode. We talked about Percy and Berth and seahorses. And as always, I did put up a question on the Instagrams. That's why I used to follow and become in part of the active community about. And the question this time was, how do you think Percy was able to be conceived and birthed in one summer? That's really badly worded, Owen. If that's how I worded it on the Instagrams, that's badly worded. That makes sense, but it's badly worded. You could, you're so much better. I'm finding out now. How do you think Percy was able to... Yeah, badly worded, my friend. Badly worded. Okay, now before I get distracted again. Okay, yeah, so I asked that question, my badly worded question. And as per always, we had the very grateful and generous, our dear friend of the pod, Darian. This is very weird now. I've always, like, recorded with my headphones on, even though I have a mic and I don't actually need to hear myself back. And my headphones just turn themselves off, and now I'm not recording with them on, and it feels very weird. Anyway, yes, Darian, our dear friend of the pod, Darian, as always, has come in clutch and responded to the question. Thank you very much, Darian, for being the clutch. So, their response was, from the meta-narrative, it is probably a timeline oversight. In Greek mythology, it is common for mortal women to have unusual gestation periods when carrying demigod children. So we can assume that in Pojo, mortals who give birth to demigods also have customary pregnancy periods. Clearly, Woyden liked the idea of the sun of the sea being born in summer. If Sally and Poseidon only sent one summer together, Percy should have been conceived in late August and born in early June. But it is apparent that Woyden also liked the climax and happening as Percy's birthday. And since the book tend to go from start of summer to end of summer, excluding, you know, Titan's Curse, Percy's birthday moved from August for thematics. And no one in the editing process picked up on this weird timeline discrepancy. However, for the canon narrative, the answer is clearly seahorses. And, Darian, 100% agree, fully on board, all the way. You are nothing but correct, as per usual. Yes, that is, yeah, 100% true. And since, so, also, I did another thing, and because it had been a while, so, as I was, like, gearing up and preparing myself to start researching again and getting back into it, I thought, you know what, I'll do a little hype on the Instagrams, because it had been a while. So, I did. They asked if, I just wanted to know if someone wanted to shout, have me shout about something. Anything I liked, didn't care what it was, anything. You know, just to hype it up. You know, why not? You know, let's have fun. Let's have fun with it, hey guys? And again, only one response. And again from Damien. See? I told you. Clutching it. Just clutching it up. Constantly. And the thing that Damien wanted to shout about was, why is Camp Half-Blood run terribly compared to Camp Jewster? Roman lives lived to adulthood. Why don't Greggstone graduate high school? That's how I imagine Damien saying it. Because it's funny. If nothing else, it is funny. I don't know, but you got a shout about it, so there you go, shouting. Well, maybe one day we'll look into it here, but not today. We got to calm down. That was a very exciting intro. Very excitable intro. Very excitable on the intro front. Oh, I should really get something to lean my back against. Oh, anyway. What are we saying? Nothing yet, because we haven't actually started properly, have we? So, let's get into the meat of it. The fall of Luke. That is what we are here to talk about. And when I say the fall of Luke, I'm sure you're like, oh, what are you on about? What fall? Fall from grace? And I'm like, yes, but also no. Yes, but no. No, but yes. Because I think we're going to be talking about two different graces here. I am talking about a Miss Thalia grace, where you may be talking about the theory of grace. Yeah, we're talking about how the heck Luke survived his fall off the cliff. How did that boy survive? How did that handsome man survive a fall off a cliff? You know, that is what we're here to talk about today. The fall from grace, away from grace, because grace pushed him off the cliff in the Titan's Curse. Because, you know, that's what we're here to talk about. Oh, that's what we're here to talk about, and just so we're all on the same page, Thalia clicks him, clicks. He goes, oh my gosh, he falls. No, Thalia kicks him off a cliff on the top of Mount Tempelines, aka Mount Ortheus. He falls about 15 meters or 15 feet, and I did get my some American research. I got my American research team on it and double checked that our numbers matched up, and whoever anglicized the book nailed it. 50 feet is in the American version, 15 meters is in the British version, you know, and it's a solid conversion rate between the two. So well done, whoever anglicized it actually put some thought into that one. The next time we see him, he's a broken form on the rocks. That's it. He gets kicked off the cliff, he lands, and we see him as a broken form on the rocks. And the reason we know he survives is because Annabeth can feel it in her gut, which has sad implications for our boy and weird implications for later. But that's not what this is about. We're not talking about Annabeth's gut feeling. No, 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 no. We are talking about his physical fall of 15 meters from a cliff. Down to the ground. Oh, yes, my good sir. We're talking about how he falls 15 meters down, which is like 15 meters doesn't sound that high. And I will like, you're like, oh, 15 meters, that's not far. I could run that easy. Vertically, very different story. Just very different story entirely. It's not, that would not be a fun fall, and it would barely be a survival. So, like, if you took like comparison in your head, of like how that looks. If you're standing on a train platform, the distance from you to the tracks is just under a meter. That's 15 times that high. That's like a big fall. Should we Google? I'm going to Google what things are 15 meters high. 15 meters high. That's HDMI cable. I don't want a 15 meter long HDMI cable. High buildings. What buildings are 15 meters tall? No, boring. What it looks like from jumping 15 meters high. Daily Mail, thank you. Coming in clutch here with a little vid. I got it. Terrifying GoPro footage captures the moment the Russian Daredevil leaps 50 foot high building and plunges into the snow pile below. Oh my gosh, he does an Assassin's Creed move. This is amazing. Oh, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to turn it up and see if you hear the sound effects of it out of me watching this video. We're just skipping. Hang on. Add advert. It's 1 minute 47. He's climbing. Oh, epic music. Epic music. Still epic music. He's on top of the building. I'm trying to capture how many windows I see as he falls. Oh my gosh, this is disgustingly high. Oh my, hang on. I can see four sets of windows. Currently, look, yep, one, two, three. There'll be one right near him. That's four sets of windows, I think. Oh my god. One, two, three, four, five. Five sets of windows. Oh my god, that was disgusting. Oh my god, that's disgusting. Ugh. Anyway, so that's how high it is. Apparently it's survivable because he just did it, but he landed in a pile of snow. Do you know what? I went climbing recently. For like first time ever, went proper bold climbing. And I can still feel it. My arm's like... ugh. Like, I had to hold myself on this like 45 degree thing. And I was like, ugh, I can't hold on myself underneath it. Like, went for like 10 meters or so. It was disgusting. Oh, disgusting. Javi. Oh, this is going to be a great zone. Oh, welcome back, everybody, into the mind of Owen. Yes, okay, so how the heck does he survive? That's what we're talking about. Really quite a high drop. It's disgusting. Gusting. Five sets of windows up. That's gross. Off the top of the fourth floor. Ugh. Anyway, ground first, second, third, fourth, just so we're all aware. So the main theory. What's the main theory? Okay, so I feel like this has been like floated around in the community, and I've like felt feelings about how other people feel this has happened. And like a thing idea I feel, and like what maybe Rick was trying to go for, but like it doesn't maybe work out. I don't know. As I researched this, I haven't edited that, and maybe disagreeing. He survives due to his dip in the sticks. I don't think that works. I do not believe that that works. And we're going to see if we can make... And here's why. Evidence against this, number one. He's cut and gashed all over him before he gets kicked off. Thanks to Sunny Boy. We know that blades, you know, they can't actually penetrate the skin. It's more like you get like Superman like skin. It's like they can't go through it. And the bullet's just like boom. Even though in Tolo we don't actually know that's how it works because Rick leaves it a bit more mysterious. But in Sun, he doubles down and says blades they just can't penetrate his skin, full stop. So that's that. Also, evidence number two, we have a quick look at Annabeth's visit, which is important. Now we get into Rick's confusing timeline world. So, and that's clearly happens before the Styx visit. The whole theory behind the combo is that this was his last get out of jail free clause. If he got Annabeth, they could get Percy easy, and they knew that. And Percy's gone, 16 years has gone, and they've won for at least a bit of time. You know, it's layers and layers and layers and layers, onions, ogres. Yes, so in the timeline, when we hear about this, so in Tolo, it's the timeline as the last year when... She says it's the last year when I was in San Fran before the labyrinth. It was when she was in San Fran before the labyrinth, like the year before. Because anyway, I wrote that badly. So the labyrinth happens in summer, the Siege of Manhattan, it's the summer before the Siege of Manhattan. So a whole 1 year before the Siege of Manhattan. And the kick happens the winter just before that. So if we were doing like calendar years, August of, I don't know, 2000, modern years, August of 2023, would, and then kick would be December of 2022. That's kind of years when timescales we're looking at, with then Siege of Manhattan being 2024. I know these are all the long like years that you could be putting to this, because that makes, why would you put these years when it came out in 2005 in the first book? I don't know, but I just can't bother to do the maths. That's why. And we get other hints at this, like in this book, Kaiwan goes 2 years in a blink of an eye, but that's talking about Percy's age and how he would be 14, and how, because this is the, think this is the book where you find out 16 is the year. Maybe, or did we find out last book? I can't remember. Yeah, so this is timeline. He's 14. If someone's 14, doesn't matter how close or far away from the birthday, you're going to say 2 years or in a year. Like, it doesn't really matter unless it's like next month, like someone else's birthday. I don't know who that could possibly be. I'm recording this 28 days away from my birthday. And we know that Annabeth moves to San Fran after Titan's Curse, which means the Stick Stick is out. We have crossed it off the list. Goodbye, Stick Stick. You are no longer a feasible option. And we're back. Nothing has happened. I just read a few messages. So this is where we are. So if we are ruling out the sticks, dip, because Owen ruled out from the start, really, and he just needed to explain that for you. Oh, stop talking to third person. Come on, you're better than this. You are... Owen, you're better than this. And I'm not talking to myself in the third person. I'm better than this. Not Owen's better than this. I'm better than this. I don't know what's going on right now. I'm just talking. So, what other methods are there? Because I've got a cop-out answer, if I'm perfectly honest with you, and the cop-out answer is they made him invisible using other methods unknown to us. Which is like, like, they attempted this earlier, and then they were like, oh no, it's not gonna work. The only way it's gonna work, and he's gonna, and Cronus can, you like, actually host his bodies if he takes a stick step, and doesn't, like, none of these other methods have worked, because there's gotta be other methods in other mythologies, maybe, of how people became invincible, I don't know. Like, maybe the Titans tried to, like, give them in him, is him, is his, own, them, his, some of their immortality. And, like, but, like, that doesn't work, because, like, Titans are like, oh my god, no, I'm too cool for me immortal to be like, achavi. So, I've got no obvious answers. So, everything from this point onwards is pure speculation. And we're going to look at, and how we're going to get to this speculation is we're going to look at what the book, like, specifically tells us, both just before the fall, like the fight leading up to the fall, and, like, the fall itself. We're going to find every piece of factor we can and all the information, and then we're going to mass speculate and come up with an idea that is more satisfying than others. So, Thalia has Luke backed up to the edge of the cliff next to the coffin. The coffin. So, Thalia doesn't really want to do this fight, but clearly, like, she's got the upper hand. Thalia is winning. As mentioned earlier, Luke's got cuts across his chest, and he's sweating. Like, Luke is drained. He is tired. And, like, just, oof. Thalia has de-armed Luke, and has got her spear pointed at his throat. And we pause for some dramatic effect and some emotional drama before going back into the action, where Luke lunges for the spear, because last ditch attempt, you know, last dash, like, that's it, this or nothing. Grabs the spear, and then Thalia just goes autopilot mode. Someone's trying to take my weapon. She, I am Sparta, off the cliff he goes. And literally then, the next time we see Luke, he's at the bottom of the cliff. So we see him get kicked off, after being exhausted and just, like, drained, probably emotionally and physically. Just, he is drained right now. And Thalia just Iron Sparta's him off this cliff. So, next time we see him, on the floor. That's quite a range for that. So, here's the speculation. We don't actually see the fall. So, maybe some sleight of hand took place. So, a couple ideas I've got for this. Like, so, we know it is possible to manipulate the mist in such a way to make it look like someone has fallen off the cliff. And if anyone has that power, Big Boy in the Coffin has that power. Cronus, like, so we know the power for such a power spell and, like, mass, like, manipulation is there. It's possible. But I don't think that's purely what's happened. I don't think we've fake seen Luke fall. I think Luke has actually fallen. I think the only illusion that's occurred there is the state of his body on the floor. The crumpled Luke is not the real Luke. Real Luke is maybe sleeping, but not necessarily crumpled, you know? And I've checked, so, and I really try to find any, like, clue about what might have occurred, and I can't find anything. So we're making one huge leap here. And I'm going flying shoes. This is all I've got left. This is it. Got Luke's here, he's like, I've got nothing left! I've got nothing left! Like, full Ian Beeling it, just nothing left. And he gets spotted off a cliff, but he's wearing some flying shoes. And you know we can have flying shoes that wouldn't immediately make the group go, oh, they're flying shoes. Like Percy's Converse in the first book, you know? Like, he could be, but we don't get mentioned what he's wearing or anything. So this is following, like, let's see if this will work. Because it can't be the stick step. And there's no other real reason for it unless Luke somehow has a really durable body. Even though he's Ian Beeling it there. I've got nothing left, you know? The shoes, like, as he's falling, because we don't see the fall, so as he's falling, the shoes, like, flap. But, like, he's too tired, so he can't control them properly. He can't thought process, so it just slows him down. And basically gives him not a safe landing speed, but a livable landing speed, if you know what I mean. So, the Prince's Andromeda clue, see that guy just, like, fall and crumple down, and then, like, attack, and then they keep him, and they just nurse him back to health for the ultimatum to Luke of going, you're stick-stepping. Like, that's it. That's the plan. Luke doesn't want to do this plan. He realised he may have gone a little too big for his boots, you know? So, yeah, that, and these are huge leaps, I will admit, and that's it. This is all I've got. I've got nothing else. I'm healing it right now. I've got nothing left. This is a wild show. Loving it. That, yeah, I know that's not necessarily satisfying, but it's more satisifying than the Native Invincible some other way, or more invulnerable some other way. And it's like, why? I don't care. Ugh. Him falling and, like, being too tired to do anything about it. Yes. Like, and then maybe, like, the illusion of a proper crumpled Luke there that's most likely dead Luke to, like, destroy the hearts and the minds of our heroes to emotionally scar them even more than they already are. Yeah, and especially Thalia. To make Thalia thought she did it. You know? 100%. A full thing. She killed her friend. She's just mad. It's... Oh. She's just autopilots him off a cliff. She's feeling horrendous. Horrendous. And then Annabeth's there like, he didn't die. I can feel him in my gut. You know? Just feeling deep down. I know he's fine. And then Percy's there like, why? Also, Zoe's dying. I don't know how to feel about all this. Also, Annabeth, you look really pretty right now. So this is all going on. Anyway, yeah. So welcome back. This has been a ride and a half for me on this end. I don't know what it's going to be like for you on the other end. This has been loving life. Yeah, run the outro, buddy. Run the outro. Thank you for indulging this theory. If you have any comments on this theory or theories of your own that you want me to discuss, you can always email them through food.t.mix@gmail.com. You can follow the Instagram and DM me there at food_mix. Make sure to follow the podcast, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, do whatever you do, like whatever you want, just help us get the podcast out there. I've been Owen, and come back next time as we try to see through the beer. 30 way away.